Sometimes God steps into our lives and calls us to leave the familiar for something greater. Whether it's changing occupations or moving to another city or even stepping into a new position of leadership, walking into the unknown requires faith and courage. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our biographical study of Abraham. At age 75, God chose Abram to lead the nation of Israel into a new era of blessing. It would require forsaking all he'd known and venturing into uncharted territory. Chuck titled today's sermon, Going, Not Knowing.
Let me tell you, there is one favorite technique, it seems to me, more than any other that our God loves to do, and that is surprises. He loves surprises because he knows what is best for us, not what will make us feel most comfortable, not what we might enjoy the most. He's not about our comfort or our enjoyment. He's not an entertaining bellboy waiting for our phone call. He is our sovereign God, knowing what is best and therefore rearranging our lives so that we are kept wondering what he's going to do next. All of this is an ideal backdrop to the life we are studying. A man named Abraham, who is getting up in years, turn to Acts 7. Acts 7, Stephen speaks, "Hear me, brethren," verse 2, "hear me, brethren and fathers." These are Jews who are about to stone him. He says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham," that's our man, "when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." That's important. That's a detail Stephen gives us that the Genesis account does not spend much time explaining. So before he moves to Haran, while he is living as an idolater in Ur of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia, the Lord appears to him and said to him, verse 3, "Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you." Is that clear to everyone else? I think it is. He's living one place, and the Lord is going to show him another place where he is to go. So let's start where the story starts, okay? I want to look at the way God guided Abram, and it won't take a lot of time. The man is over six decades old, over seven, really. He's gotten married. They have no children. He's been living near, perhaps even with, in the same home with his father, not uncommon in ancient days, and not uncommon in even some cultures today. And he wasn't surprised to hear God's voice, because God has a way of capturing our attention when he speaks, and Abram listens. And let me start here. It originated in a secure setting. Where? Ur of the Chaldeans. Abram's living there, lived there all his life. His father, quite likely, is a carver of idols. Abram is an idol worshiper. And the Lord breaks the silence and reveals to him, verse 1, Genesis 12, "Go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Go. Now, let me add something, because you're thinking I'm leaving out this important point. There's nothing wrong with staying put. There's nothing at all wrong with living where you live, going to the same school where your folks went to school, living in the same house. You've got it. You've got everything set. Grandkids are nearby, or maybe they live away. The point is, I'm not saying today you need to be ready to go. I'm just saying it may be his plan. It wasn't wrong for the other people to stay in Ur. It would be wrong for Abraham. So please look at Hebrews 11, verse 8, when he was called, that's very important, when he was called, that means the Lord revealed clearly, unmistakably, his will to Abram. He obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. So it originated in a secure setting. F.B. Meyer writes this, when this divine appearance came, we do not know. It may have been in the still, solemn night, or in the evening hour of meditation, or amid the duties of Abram's position. But suddenly, a voice spoke the message. The message of heaven came to his ears. God would break through, and God would speak. Let me tell you what can desensitize you, and I'll say more about that in a minute, and that's thinking that you, all of your risks are behind you. We can all look back to risks that were taken, some of which worked out well and some of them didn't. But I will tell you, if you think that all of your risks are in the past, you are going to miss some of his best plan. Think back the last couple of years and you will realize how full of surprises God is. So it originated in a secure setting. Here's the second. It started with a clear command. Go. He was told to leave your country, leave your relatives, go to the land I will show you. And please observe, he is led to an uncertain destination. It originated in a secure setting. It started with a clear command, and he's been led now to where he doesn't know. Look at those words in Hebrews 11. He was going, but not knowing where he was going to wind up. He was going, but not knowing. May I tell you that faith cannot grow without risk? You see, here's the fourth. It called for an obedient response. I love the part that says, verse 4, Genesis 12. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken. I'm not going to make this message complicated, difficult. I'm going to keep it really simple. And I'm going to bear down a little more because I still don't have some of your attention. So let me ask you three questions. Here they are. Since God is not through with any of us, let me ask you three questions. They're probing. I cannot answer them for you, so you're on your own. All I ask is that you be honest. Number one, are you seeking God's will deliberately and passionately? Are you seeking God's will deliberately and passionately? If you are not, you are committing the sin of sloth. It's the fourth in the list of seven dreaded sins, and it's the one we least address. We think sloth is laying down on the couch and taking a snooze on a Sunday afternoon. It's not sloth. That's necessary rest. That's relaxation. Sloth is being disconnected from God's directives. Oz Guinness puts it very well in his book, The Call. Sloth is a condition of spiritual dejection that's given up on the pursuit of God, the true, the good, the beautiful. Sloth is inner despair that finally slumps into an attitude of, who cares? Who cares? It's what the medieval spoke of as the noonday demon. The noonday demon. So you answer, all on your own, are you deliberately and passionately seeking the will of God. Is it your desire, Father, that I be right here and do what I am doing? I need that assurance. I need you to make that clear. I need the peace that goes with that. Here's the second. Are you willing just as much to go as to stay? Now, I don't know. I can't answer for you. You could turn it the other way around. Are you just as willing to stay as to go? See, since God is full of surprises, for all you know, his plan for you last year may not be the same as his plan for you this year or the next. So when I was spending time with Navigator friends, we used to refer to this as live your life with shallow tent pegs. Isn't that a good way to put it? Quit putting your roots down so deep that God couldn't move you until he blasts you out of your foundation. Lighten up. Ministers live like this. It's called our call. And sometimes we figure incorrectly. I'll give you an example. Years and years ago, I was very comfortably settled in a situation at a church. And I was serving as an assistant pastor to a magnificent man whom I deeply respected. There was really no reason to look elsewhere. A couple of little things were happening, but nothing huge. And I felt, nevertheless, that God was leading us to move to another place for ministry. So we moved there. As I recall, the church spent about $1,600 to move us. Doesn't seem like a lot of money today, does it? But back in those days, that was a lot of money. And I hadn't been there but several months before I realized I missed it. I don't fit here. This is where I ought to be. Nobody throwing rocks at me. There was no bad guy making life miserable. As a matter of fact, I was surrounded by people who really loved us, but I didn't, down inside my chest, have a sense of peace. I was disturbed. Cynthia was too. We shared this. Well, we stuck it out for about 18, 20 months, and I didn't have a place that I knew we should go, but I knew I couldn't stay. You can't minister if you don't have the peace that you're in the center of his will. So I didn't know what else to do. So I picked up the phone and I called the chair of our elders and I asked Tom if I could come see him. He said, sure, come on over. Everything okay? I said, sure. I just want to talk to you about something. So I walked over. Tom ran a tuck shop, so we went in the back room. He pulled a curtain too and he said, sit down here, and I sat down there. And he said, okay, what's up? And I said, you know, Tom, I don't feel like I should stay here. And he said, oh, really, what's wrong? Isn't that a good question? And that's the question you would have asked. And I would have asked it of me if I'd have been there. And I said, nothing's wrong. I just don't have peace about it. I'm really restless. Really, tell me about it. And I told him, and he had a great answer. He said, Chuck, if God doesn't want you here, we don't either. Now, you laugh. I love that answer. Rather than, do you realize how much money we've invested in moving your bodies here and getting you in your home and putting wallpaper on your house and making you feel comfortable and this is the way you treat it? All of that is shaming. Don't do that to people. How wrong it would have been for me to say to this guy, you know, Boston, oh man, that was one miserable life for us. And you know what I said? Get going. That's where you ought to be, man. He said, you know what? I really should. He said, I'm about half packed. I said, finish up and get out of here. He said, I just want you to know that I needed this affirmation. And I needed that from Tom. Now, I'm not saying we were anxious, but we got a phone call from another church after I talked with Tom. And the other church was interested in interviewing and candidating. And I said to them on the phone, Cynthia's listening in, and I said, well, we'll pray about it. And she said, you pray while I pack. Right here. So it's amazing how the voice of your wife sounds like the voice of the Holy Spirit at times. There's another church I was at where I was there for 24 hours as a pastor. Did you know this? If I told you everything, this church would empty in about 5 minutes. I really did. I thought I need to go there, and I was all caught up in it, and they had a vote, and it was unanimous. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be their pastor. I was just, you know, old enough to have my snot dried up, and I remember thinking, boy, this is great, unanimous vote, and we're driving home from this church that's called us to come as a pastor. And I said to Cynthia, I don't feel good. She said, I don't either. And I said, well, I can't do this. I said, what do I do? She said, you need to tell them. And I thought, how can I tell them? She said, well, you open your mouth, sound comes out. So that morning followed, I called up this very fine man, and I said to him, we got to meet. He said, what's wrong? I said, I can't come. Is this Chuck Swindoll? I said, yeah, it really is me. So we met, and a similar thing he said, which relieved me. He said, at least one thing we can say. Our church had Chuck Swindoll as their pastor for 24 hours. Isn't that a great line? I said, believe me, they won't even care. Be sure you're just as willing to stay as to go. Just be sure of that. Be sure that you're just as willing to go as to stay. Because if you're churning and wrestling and disturbed over your situation, whatever it may not be a physical move, it may be your work, it may be something related to friends that you have no business cultivating, you need to drop them. Bad friendships ruin morals. And you got no business messing with people that are bad for you. Maybe it's that. I don't know what the situation is. But decide for the sake of God's will. Third question. Are you making the decision more simple or more complicated? Okay. Are you making this decision more simple or more complicated? What do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you how to complicate it. Talk to too many people. Every time I've wrestled with the will of God, I've gotten God's will on both sides from other people. Oh, you can't do that. Or, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Or, are you nuts? Or, man, I thought you'd be gone a long time ago. Or, I could tell you were restless, somebody else, but you've been at peace so much. And nobody, see what I mean? You'll complicate things. It's not God's will for their life. Abraham doesn't go around the neighborhood going, hey, what do you guys think about this? No, you don't do that. Furthermore, if I may, it's none of your business how God is leading someone else. It's none of your business. That includes your kids. Get out of their way. They're making their decision. Applaud it. Help them do it. They're convinced that's what the Lord would have them do. Don't even think of shaming them. Hanging on to too much stuff. Hanging on to too much stuff. Some of you need to really get rid of some stuff. I'll tell you another one. Going ever deeper into debt. The greater the debt, the less availability. Every missionary will tell you that. Another is being afraid of the sacrifice. You just sang about sacrifice. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and it ends with, I give him my soul, my life, my all. You sang that. That's what that cross represents. He left it all for people like us. You know why? The Father said, this is for you to do. Do this. There's no other way I can rescue them. Keep your mind open to either a yes or a no from God. One lady wrote this in her poem, "Lord, day after day, I thanked you for saying yes. But when have I genuinely thanked you for saying no? Yet I shudder to think of the possible smears, the cumulative blots on my life, had you not been sufficiently wise to say an unalterable no." So thank you for saying no when my want list for things far exceeded my longing for you. When I asked for a stone, foolishly certain I had asked for bread, thank you for saying no to my petulant, "just this time, Lord." Thank you for saying no to senseless excuses, selfish motives, dangerous diversions. Thank you. Don't be afraid of the sacrifice. In the long run, it won't be any sacrifice at all. You will please the Father. Dear Father, we thank you for caring enough about us to talk in terms that simple and stupid minds like ours can get it. Thank you for pulling a life off the pages of an ancient book and having him stand in front of us, saying in effect, "I understand what you're going through. I've been there." I want to thank you for your son, Jesus. And I want to thank you that he did what you told him to do. And because of his sacrifice, we're able to know you. And otherwise, we would never have been able to. Thank you that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. We worship you, O Lord, on this day, and we commit this very special time of decision to you. Many wrestle. Enable them to come out on the right side. In the process, be patient. Bear with them, knowing that you're not finished with us yet. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Going, not knowing. That's the title Chuck Swindoll selected for today's edition of Insight for Living. This represents just one message in the 22-part series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To purchase the entire collection of CDs or the downloadable audio files for this comprehensive study, go to insightworld.org/store. Over the next several weeks, Chuck will help us see how Abraham's fascinating story parallels our own experience. His faith was tested in a variety of ways, and Abraham's resolve is an inspiration to us all. As a complement to our biographical study, Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll have selected a powerful nonfiction book to share with you. It's written by Carol Kent, who tells her emotion-filled story of sacrifice and loss. The book is titled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, Unshakable Faith in Unthinkable Circumstances. We'd like to send you a copy of this inspirational book when you give a donation to support Chuck's Bible teaching on your station. Again, it's titled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, a dramatic true story of love, loss, and redemption. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. If you prefer to write, our address is Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Life application is what this ministry is all about. When you give a voluntary gift, you're allowing others to hear Chuck's teaching on Abraham, and giving them an opportunity to apply Scripture to their personal circumstances. In this respect, when you give, you have a ministry of your own. So ask for a copy of When I Lay My Isaac Down when you give a donation of any amount. It comes with our thanks. We believe this book by Carol Kent beautifully illustrates how God's promises keep us grounded, even in unthinkable circumstances. So write Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Deep blue waters, ancient glaciers, waterfalls cascading from forested mountainsides.
Find rest and beauty as you vacation with Chuck Swindoll, June 30th through July 7th, 2018, on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to Alaska.
When was the last time you lingered at the balcony of a cruise liner or counted bald eagles sitting in towering trees along the shoreline? Probably never. Until now.
This is the time to breathe deep and create memories. Get away to a spectacular place that points you vividly towards your Creator.
You and your loved ones will set sail with us for a week of cruising, laughter, fun, the study of God's Word with friends from Insight for Living.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, June 30th through July 7th, 2018. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Be sure to join us Thursday when Chuck Swindoll describes never-to-be-forgotten promises right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Going, Not Knowing, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.